Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Episode 363, Crook and Chase, which I've listened to Crook and Chase my whole life. I mean, as a kid, they were on the radio every weekend. I would hear, and then I would see them on TV on TNN. And, you know, a month ago, Mike, we were like, let's get Crook and Chase. And then when I saw it pop up on my calendar, I messaged you. I was like, that's what I'm talking about.
We got him.
Like, more than anybody else.
Very excited.
Yeah, just because they know it all. They have some great stories about Johnny Cash and Shania Twain and Taylor Swift, and they've just been in it for a long time. And I think sometimes people forget how famous they were in country music, because they had a national TV show on all the country channels as well as the radio show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they were the face of country music on a national level forever, and obviously still are, or we wouldn't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but just a really great interview, and I can attest that Charlie Chase, his voice is like this even when he's not on the air.
Sounds so good.
He just has a very deep voice. But, you know, they met back in 1983. I don't even want to ruin it in the preview, because I kind of find out some stuff during the interview as well, which I thought was super cool. It's also funny when I was like, do people ever think you're married? Because, you know, I probably did when I was a kid. I'd be like, and I didn't know why, because I didn't know who was Crook, who was Chase forever. Because I'd be like, I'm Crook, I'm Chase. And I should have known by that, but I didn't. But episode 363, this is Crook and Chase, Lori Ann Crook and Charlie Chase, and it's just super cool for me. I'm geeking out a little bit. My old school country self thought that this was really awesome, and I hope you do too. So enjoy.
Do you want us to wear wheelies?
Well, are we going to play any clips?
No.
Okay. You're professionals then. You don't need. Well, the are we rolling?
We're rolling.
The issue is when people don't wear headphones, as you guys will know sometimes. If they have headphones on, they'll talk from way over here. And then you're like, no, I need you to get close to the mic.
Oh, yeah. No.
You know?
Yeah, we know better.
But with you two, I need to learn things from you guys.
Well, no. You know, if you go back to the old Laugh-In series, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Gary Owens used to hold his hand up like this. And it acts as a little bit of a...
You still headset. Do.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. When we're doing our radio show, I do this.
You hold your... But to me, that's like someone in Iraq reporting in from like, all right, I can hear you, Chuck, in this studio... Like their whole, I would do that when I did the NFL draft because everybody was screaming in my ear. So I had to push the earpiece in deeper so I could hear.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that was an actual thing used for sound.
Right. It's just, it just projects what
like
you're saying
echo.
Back in. Yeah.
It's like, you know, picking up a seashell and hearing the ocean.
Try it.
You can hear your voice better.
Oh, I was just injuring my ear by shoving a speaker in there. I literally thought that's what we're supposed to. I was like, I can't hear you guys.
Yeah, I know.
I'm shoving it in there.
And don't you see, a lot of people don't realize that when you're doing a live shot like you're just talking about, you've got an earpiece in there and you've got all these people talking with you. You're trying to keep your thought together. And at the same time, they're saying, all right, now when you finish this, I want you to toss to so and so who's going to tell you.
You have to have two
that.
Brains.
Yeah, it's weird. And I'm not great. I'm okay to pretty good. I have some friends that are great at it. Like, they can hear a whole three conversations while doing a live shot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me, again, I just tried to shove it in deep. Because I couldn't, and it turns out I just didn't, I couldn't process all the voices because it was that loud. But the good thing about our job is we don't really have to do, at least I don't. Do you guys have to deal with anybody in your ear ever when you're recording your show?
Usually, no.
Well, I mean, we have, you know, producer in our ear usually. But this is where, you know, you separate the big boys from the bad producers. A good producer knows when to talk to you.
Right.
And that's not when you're talking.
There was a clip of Casey Kasem. Did you guys ever meet Casey Kasem? Ever?
Yes, he was on our show. Yeah. We did a cooking segment.
Wow.
He was a vegan. And he came on and made some kind of a soup with spinach and dandelion greens and all sorts of things that Charlie wouldn't eat. But it
looked like the front yard. It really did.
Sticks and stones. And yeah.
He cooked all that and you wouldn't eat it?
He wouldn't eat it.
No.
Isn't it a bit? You didn't commit.
What do? You go out in the front yard and graze? I don't. No, give me a hamburger.
It was delicious. Good.
Did he talk like that in person too? Like,
not so much. No, it's more pronounced on his
more
shows.
Relaxed in person. Yeah.
There was a clip of him where he's recording something and you may have heard it, but he's like, I don't want to do another sad song into a set. And he's just going on. Right.
About the dog.
Yes.
The dead dog. Yeah. Yes.
I just wonder what clips of you two exist out there that someone luckily threw away and then never got out.
Our well-paid employees have prevented that.
Okay. So whenever we were having a hard time with the show, technical difficulties or something was going on, the director would play as loud as he could over the speakers in my ear, Wild Cherry, play that funky music, White Boy. I would immediately dart out of my chair, mm-hmm. and I'm dancing. And it just brought the whole show. Now, I think they recorded that. I think somebody has copies.
I'm glad you have it. Here's a clip of it now. Right, and we pop it up on screen.
And rest assured, she's taking medication for that now.
Nice. Yeah.
Love it. Isn't there a song that just makes you cannot sit still, Bobby?
That's an interesting question. A song that I just love.
You have to get up.
Yours is Wild
dance.
Cherry. Yeah. Play that funky music. Do you have one, Joy?
The Twist? Baby. Chubby Checker?
Yeah.
Just because of the fast beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. That song was number one in 61 and number one in 63. It skipped a year.
Same version or
same song, same
and
cut.
And this is how old we are. We have actually done The Twist with Chubby.
Yeah.
Really?
On our shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he came there and
came
did
on
the
our
tour?
Show?
He was,
a couple of times.
Well, he was making an appearance in Myrtle Beach. Remember when we were doing the show over there?
Mm-hmm.
And he showed up. He was doing one of the outlets over
there. But he did Music City Tonight with us, too.
Yes,
every time we saw him, we always ended up doing The Twist together. So much fun.
I guess I just, the years start to be cloudy to me. I don't consider you guys old enough to have been with Chubby Checker.
Yeah.
Not meaning you're old, but you're such a part of my adolescence, teenage years, early 20s, because I just associate all the weekends from hearing you guys all over the country, wherever I was.
Bobby, you're older than you think.
Oh, I am. You're right. I think we're
just not kidding.
For sure.
Okay. But no, Chubby was actually, and that's a very interesting point you make. We were not like celebrating the first iteration of The Twist. We were celebrating what? Some 20th or 30th anniversary, mm-hmm. something like that.
That's much fairer then. Okay. So he was coming back around as a celebration of. Okay, that makes me feel a lot better. Even about myself, I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Like,
so you guys have been together 40 years?
Yes!
Yeah, coming up. We start our 40th year this month, actually.
Anything for 40 years. I mean, I am 42. I'm like, dang, I'm doing pretty good just to be alive for 40 years, much less you guys.
Wait a minute. You were in diapers when we first started?
I was, two, I guess.
You were peeing on yourself?
I still am. No, and when you're still doing it. Yeah, no. Beginning and end, middle, all of that. So 40 years ago, in what city did you guys actually start working together? Was it Nashville?
It was Nashville.
Yeah. So, but when you say you're in Myrtle Beach, were you doing some kind of show down there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would take the show on the road occasionally. And the big production, you know, we'd go over there for the summer.
Yeah.
Had our own theater over there, the Crook and Chase Theater. And
you had a theater in Myrtle Beach?
We mm-hmm. did.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That's where Chubby was. Mm-hmm. With us over there.
Did you guys make so much money?
No. Theater business is hard.
But I mean, just to have a theater named after you, someone had to go, okay. Or did you guys just do it yourself?
Well, okay, the Gatlins had it, Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin brothers, mm-hmm. and my husband and I bought it from them.
So Brett Eldridge is one of my best friends, and we've all often talked about whenever we're done, maybe people decide we should be done now or 20 years, we'll just go get a theater in Branson, and I'll do stand-up, and he'll do music, and that'll be how we die. Not doing the actual show, but that's like the that's like the end of
See,
that's,
flop. You know, the concept, listen, hey, the concept over there is quite good because it gives artists who are, I don't want to say fed up, but tired of traveling the world to perform, they stay home and everybody comes to them.
I think it's awesome.
It's a wonderful format.
I was reading a little bit about you guys because I didn't know, and you please correct me if I'm wrong, because the internet is known to have been wrong once or twice, but you started in television together before radio? Is that true? Or you went to national television syndication before national radio syndication?
Okay, let me start. I started in radio in 66.
But together?
Together, we did TV first, and then radio evolved from that.
Okay, so I was right, but as far as a team. Now, individually, Lorianne, when did you start in radio?
Not until 89. I started in television in like 1980.
Oh, that's your background is in television.
Right. See, we're absolutely opposite. Charlie started in radio and morphed into television. I started in television, and then he dragged me into radio.
What were you doing in TV? Like, what was your specialty? Were you a reporter, an anchor?
I was a very terrible news reporter.
Why do you say terrible?
Because...
Give me an example. Go ahead.
I am so, and this probably frightens Charlie about me, I could not cover murders and accidents and things that happened to babies that were bad. And I would just stand there on a live shot and cry. And finally, the news director called me and said, you know, maybe you belong in entertainment. So I started doing a show called PM Magazine, which was kind of a syndicated thing at the time. So I was doing it in Texas, but the pieces I was doing were seen around the country, and that's how I got noticed to come back to Nashville.
And so you're doing radio since the 60s, what you said, right?
Right.
And you started a small station, I'm assuming, in a small town like everybody did?
WRGS Rogersville.
Did you come out of the womb with a great voice?
No. No.
Were you 12 talking like
that? You know, it's honestly my dad and... My brother, my dad was in the produce business. My brother was a California Highway Patrolman and military, Air Force, police, and all this sort of thing. And myself, and I was the only one who got on radio. We all sounded alike, which is kind of weird. But no, the unusual story is I did have kind of a low tone and everything in my voice when I was like 12 and 13 years old. And when I first called my wife, Karen, her dad hung up on me because I was on the radio at 13. And he thought I was some 21-year-old pervert trying to call his kid, you know. So finally, Karen and I walked home together one time, and I was introduced to him. So we got over that.
It must be in the thousands where people have thought that you two are married because you've been a couple for so long. Sure. I mean, I'm assuming that's even normal, that people just think you're – because Amy and I, my co-host on the radio show, and we do a countdown on the weekend too, forever, they thought we were together just because we were together doing something professionally. So that's happened with you guys, I assume?
Well, we have a stock answer for that, don't we? When they ask if we've ever considered dating one another or whatever.
Oh, that's...
Okay, my stock answer is, do I look that stupid?
I like that.
And mine is, do I look that desperate?
And we used that a few times before. But no, you want to hear something really crazy about that? Years ago, at the height of TNN, Charlie and I were basically ambassadors to the world for TNN and from Nashville. And so People Magazine thought that they should come to Nashville and do a story on us. Do you remember this? And so I forgot her name. This lady, she was one of the famous writers for People. Very nice. Came to each of our homes and interviewed us individually and came down to our studio on the row and introduced us to, you know, photographers and had all this going on. She came back. Did she come back to your house? She came to my house again, twice. And so she said, I need to come back and ask follow-up questions. And basically she told us that Charlie and I were so vanilla, that's the word she used,
vanilla,
that this was not going to be an interesting People Magazine story. And she was asking me, she goes, have you and Charlie ever had an affair or ever stepped out of line? Just something that we can put in here. I said, no. No.
That was the thing.
Wow.
They killed the story. Yeah.
They didn't even do it?
They never did it. Mm-hmm. After spending days with us in Nashville, they killed the story because we're vanilla and we didn't have controversy. We hadn't done bad things.
I can't believe they didn't just run it, but maybe not take up as much of the page. Wow, yeah, to just kill it completely.
Like
because you did it, guys, have such a voice, meaning not your literal physical voices, but for country music. I mean, you introduced me to so many artists on TNN. Because I used to watch, that's what, I, even when it was on, when the Opry was on, my grandmother and I would watch all the time, right? Yep. Not you guys so much then, because my grandmother didn't much care for the new music, so she's kind of tuning out when you guys were having it. but you were the, to me, you were how I learned as a kid, other than Kissin' 96. It was what country music artists look like. That's what I got from you guys. First time I ever saw Little Big Town was you guys. Mm. Like, saw them on the face. Yeah. And I was, I remember sitting on my couch, and I think Tornado had happened, and you guys were, like, walking into a studio or something with them. I remember watching the...
Oh, yeah, our studio got hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it was... And that's why I told them, I credit you two for letting me know they're better looking than me. And so I never will let them off that. But I'm surprised with you guys having such a voice that they cut that story.
Yep. Well, but we did have a nice story in TV Guide. Remember that old
magazine?
Oh,
now they were very nice to us.
Is TV Guide still around?
I think now it's just a digital space.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And last time I saw it, it was like a larger publication, but it used to be, you know, about like that size.
Yeah, like a little square.
15 mm-hmm. cents, every, came out every Friday.
And Cable Ace Awards were nice to us. We got, we won Entertainment News Show over, over what, Entertainment Tonight?
Or over Larry King or something.
It was wild. So we were, you know.
Yeah, and right now, if I'm not mistaken, I think we are... As far as a national, I think
you're the longest duo. If that's what you're going to say. I looked
national.
It up too.
Yeah,
I tried it 40 years. I looked for anybody that's been together, and I cannot find any national. It's hard to find anybody at all.
Well, for the longest time is Regis and Kathy Lee, and then.
But when she left, when she quit, and Kelly Ripa came in, then that kind of catapulted us beyond them in years together.
Right. Then we were often compared to John Tesh and Mary Hart on Entertainment Tonight. So we were the country version of that.
Yeah. No, I think they're the AC version of you because you guys are the real deal.
Well, you, thanks.
There you go.
You've been in people. You, and I mean that as people where you live in the country music world depended on you. Mm-hmm. And I can remember places in my life where I was listening to you. And listen, what do I know about John Tesh? I've heard him sometimes, but I don't think people are going to go, at John Tesh and Mary Hart. Like, I remember being in sixth grade, making out the first time to John Tesh. That's I don't think that's happening anywhere, if I'm being honest.
Making out to John Tesh.
And also, I didn't make out in sixth grade. I was just making up some stuff there.
Make note of that, Lorianne.
In the documentary, though, you guys are going to have to almost break up a couple times.
Yeah,
like, meaning, mm-hmm. So it's like the docuseries, Crook and Chase, 73, and Lorianne wants to leave. And then it's you going, yeah. I just thought, I looked at him and thought, you looking like this, we're never going to get any further. Like, did it ever come where, like, one of your agents was like, okay, it's time to take it out and go solo?
Guess what? We don't have agents.
No.
Ever?
Ever.
No. Huh.
No.
Anyone?
We actually talk to each other and work stuff out.
But I mean, with companies, right? I mean, you have to negotiate some sort of, like, syndication.
Well, yeah, but see, they contact us directly for things like that. And we feel it's... in our particular case, it's not for everybody, but in our particular case, we are hands-on. Mm-hmm. We're the ones going to make the decision on that. We're the one to get the initial feel of what's being offered or whatever, and whether we won't do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Cole Swindell and I pass a shirt back and forth of you guys that we wear every time we see each other.
Honestly, I was going to say, I'm a little shocked and disheartened that you do not have my Crook and Chase shirt on.
Cole has it.
Cole has it.
Who has my motorcycle T-shirt? Does anybody have that?
Well, he had the one that, you know, the book cover.
I have your two heads. Yeah, the book cover. And I wear it all the time. And I wear it until I see Cole, and then I give it back to him. Then he wears it until he sees me. And we pass the crooked. We both love you guys so much.
Oh, that's sweet.
Does he wear it to church or something? What does he do?
You know,
is it dirty when he brings it back?
It smells a little. Yeah, now that you mention it.
Spaghetti stains.
It smells
stuff
a little
like
bit.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Lovely. No, I have a, there is a T-shirt of me on my Harley Davidson wearing short shorts. I don't know why I even did that.
Try not to choke on the water there. It's okay.
But if I find one, I'm sending you one.
Do you guys have old merch still around the house in boxes?
Yes.
Some.
Yes. I have like plastic tubs full of it.
I was talking to Ronnie Dunn, and Ronnie and I have become friends. It's one of my favorite out-of-nowhere friendships, honestly, because I just – everyone was – they would be like, okay, look. Because I love Brooks and Dunn. Like just listening before I ever had a chance to even get in this world. Who doesn't love Brooks and Dunn if you grew up on country music, right?
Right.
And so they would say, okay, here's the deal. "You're going to meet Kix. He's the nicest guy ever." Ronnie, a little prickly. That's what they would say. That they would say prickly? They'd be like, "A little prickly. Look, he's okay. Tough. He's smart aleck, tough." He goes, so it's hard when you first meet him. And so I'm like, all right. So first time I ever played the Opry, Kix was playing. He was doing something himself, and he came in. You know, because at the Opry, the doors stay open. Unless you're literally changing, the doors stay open. And Kix comes in. Nicest guy, big. Just, hey, super, la. Went and performed, still never met Ronnie, and I'm like, oh, I never want to meet Ronnie. That guy's prickly, you know? Yeah, prickly, prickly Ronnie. I'm just going to meet Kix and feel good about it. And I ran into Ronnie once. I was doing some comedy for Reba at her her event in D.C., the Kennedy Center Honors. Yeah. And Ronnie was in the audience, and he's like, hey. I was like, what's up? He goes, my wife watched you on Dancing with the Stars. And I was like, cool, nice to meet you. And I'm thinking, prickly, prickly, prickly.
Couldn't get that out
he's
of your mind,
prickly,
could you?
Prickly. Well. And then we did some picture stuff together, and he's like, will you text? Will you, hey, Ronnie's awesome.
Did you tell him that you thought he was prickly?
I told him everybody else thought he was prickly. Yeah, I'm
telling him.
I was just like, people said we'd never be friends. And he said, they said the same thing about you. And I was like, all right.
Trying to figure out what we do if we see Cole Swindell wearing our shirt.
Oh, Ronnie.
We have to figure out something.
My point was, Ronnie said when him and Kix broke up, they had to decide who got the merch, and Kix got all the merch, and he's like,
yeah. Really?
He's like, yeah. He's like, it's all in Kix's warehouse because we had to split stuff up. We broke
Didn't
up.
Ronnie get the hot air balloon or something?
He did, and he puts it up in his yard sometimes. Isn't that crazy? That's funny. That's right.
I love it.
Great memory.
I want to go for a ride.
Yeah, just drive by and see if you see the Brooks and Dunn balloon in someone's yard.
I want to go over to Charlie's house and like drop rotten tomatoes and stuff. With that house from Ronnie's air balloon.
Okay. I've got to touch upon something here that's been bothering me.
Oh, no, what?
Nashville traffic, okay? Now, I think we sent over a couple of things. Hey, let's talk about this, but I want to bring this up. Not a day goes by that I'm behind somebody, the light turns green, and they sit there. And I love the way the state of Tennessee refers to it. They had their head in their app, okay? Mm. And they're not moving, and not a day has gone by in the past 2 weeks, and I'm serious about this. I'm not lying. I've had to honk the horn.
As long as you're that's okay, right? Because
I think so. If you do
that's not
they're
friendly.
Coming out with guns
that's
and
it.
Stuff. No. It's just like,
Yep, that's the doot-doot means,
and
hey, buddy.
We had a discussion on what is the, like, if you pull out in front of somebody in this town, which is just like a sport, if you pull out in front of somebody accidentally or cut them off accidentally or whatever, what is the proper wave to let them know you're sorry?
I just put my hands in front of my face like, oh.
Both hands when you're driving?
Yes, both hands.
Yeah. Well, and I suggested just a slight wave. Mm-hmm. Use all fingers, but just a slight wave.
That looks floppy. Looks like you're flopping a little
bit. It's like,
hey,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do sorry. I'm like, sorry.
Yeah, no, but they don't see it.
See, you just hands too, Bobby.
Yeah,
both hands.
They don't see it.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS.
Yeah. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's Place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, Wounded Souls, Wayward Upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the boar's nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar's nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. Did you guys, because you've been in Nashville for so long, you ever meet Johnny Cash?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I went shopping for hairspray with Johnny Cash once.
What's the story that led to you going with him to get hairspray?
It was late at night. It was Kroger 24-hour. I needed hairspray for whatever we were doing the next day, and I ran in there, and there was the man in black standing in front of the, what's it called, the Aqua something that he and Marty Stewart bought?
Yeah.
Aqua Finish or something.
Aquanet.
Aquanet, there it is, yeah. So Johnny Cash and I are standing there just kind of laughing and talking about which hairspray we're going to get.
There are so many things to unpack. Johnny and Marty bought Aquanet?
Mm-hmm.
The brand?
Mm-hmm. I think Marty might still use it if it's around.
Wow. And yeah. Then he was just hanging. Was he recognizable?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. He's always wearing black. But,
yeah,
too,
that
right?
was back when nobody went to the store that late at night.
Yeah.
Except Johnny Cash.
Except me and Johnny Cash.
And somebody who needs hairspray late night.
But you know the thing is, in this town, when you see people like that, they're usually not bothered. People are respectful of what they do. They realize this is an entertainment center and see stars all the time. Just, oh, hey, how you doing? You know.
I don't know. I think it's starting to change a little bit again for the worse.
I
think
maybe.
It depends where you go. If you go to a real touristy place where people kind of don't know the rules, then it gets a little ugly.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you just kind of have to pick your place. Because I don't think it was, you can tell me if I'm wrong, I don't think it was as like a bachelorette touristy.
Not even close.
No. 25 years ago.
No, not even close.
No, this city has changed. It's grown really fast, and because of the influx of people, I always like to say this has small town charm, but it's a big city with small town charm, but that's changing.
Yeah.
Is that your only Johnny Cash experience?
Oh no.
Oh, you do have a lot.
Oh, he was on our show numerous times.
Did you like him?
Oh, yeah. Loved him.
He was great.
You know what surprised me a lot? He helped us actually do a surprise tribute show to the Statler Brothers. You know, he helped get the Statler Brothers started.
Mm-hmm.
And the Statlers didn't know Johnny was going to be there. And Johnny was going to jump in and sing with them and surprise them on some gospel numbers. And I remember, I think this actually happened, Charlie, on the air. Backstage, Johnny Cash was pacing back and forth and he was sweating.
Right.
And even when he got on set with us, he still had just some perspiration on his face, and
little
I don't
beads.
Know if I kind of wiped it off or whatever, but he admitted that he was nervous. He was still, after all of his superstardom, his world travel, getting on a set in front of cameras on live TV, especially in this sort of a surprise situation where we're all by the seat of our pants, he admitted he was nervous.
It's wild that someone who had done so much still felt like we feel sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He was a funny guy, though. He was on the show one time, and we have a segment of audience questions where the crowd would actually fill out questions and pass them to our producers, and they'd pick one out and send it to us. And one of them said, Mr. Cash, you are always wearing black. Do you wear black underwear? And his response on camera, live on TV, was, I don't wear underwear.
So now we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. I had Hank Jr. in a couple months ago, and he was a handful. I mean, he was a handful. And I don't know if it's because he's gotten old. He wanted to smoke a cigar inside, and we can't do it. It's not my building. I don't make the rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he just wanted to get out, and he was a handful, and it was really cool to have him in. But was he a handful back then?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, he was always very nice to me because I met him kind of as a cub reporter early in my career. And my first encounter was asking if I could go to his home in Paris, Tennessee and do like a big documentary with him. And so I don't know how much of this I should tell.
That means all plus. Well,
I remember most of it. Go ahead.
Some of it I'm not going to tell. But I will say, so I got there. And I needed a place to touch up. And so he sent me to his bedroom where there was still a young lady there in the bed. Okay?
I thought you were going to delete that. You're going to leave and keep that? Okay.
No. Sorry. No, the other
No
thing.
One was surprised that we were all like, okay.
No, okay, that's fine. Yeah.
No, this is okay stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like, okay, fine. So I go into the bathroom and the toilet seat is that Rolling Stones.
The tongue?
The tongue thing is the toilet seat. Hmm. And there are things that I can't tell you about that were sitting on the sink. But anyway, I felt like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? This was the beginning of the day with him. But I have to tell you, he was the nicest guy. He took me out. He had a little canoe. He taught me how to fish on his pond. We had just the greatest talk about his life and how at one point he just wanted to die. And we had such a great time that he then, later on, invited me out to Montana, where he had a place out there, and got some more great footage out there. So he and I became really good friends. He wrote me a note one time, which was very dear to my heart, because he said most reporters came and just tried to get trash on him. And he signed a picture for me that said, "Dear Lori Ann, thank you for making me look good. Love your friend, Hank."
That's awesome. And he was nice with us, but he just wanted to get out. He was a handful, like, all right, let's go. Come on. I need to go smoke a cigar.
No patience.
And had you said you went to his house and it was pristine and it was clean and there was only the Bible, I'd be like, that's not the Hank I know. That's not the Hank on brand. But that's funny he had the Rolling Stones toilet. I want to get one of those now for my toilet seat, the big tongue. Yeah.
I didn't use the bathroom all day.
Yeah. I would have probably had to try to go there, though, in that once, just because... That's where it was. What about an early young Garth?
Oh.
What was a young Garth like?
So, don't you... when we first met him, we had not seen him on stage. And this guy walked out on our set. We had, you know, kind of a live situation where we sort of met people briefly backstage. I'm not even sure we got his name right. Were we calling him Garp or Garf or something?
No.
We had never heard Garth before. I could not believe how soft-spoken, very gentlemanly. I mean, we're about the same age, but he called me ma'am. And I thought to myself, and I don't know, Charlie, if you and I had a conversation about this or not, I thought, how is this guy ever going to make it in music? He's not outgoing enough. Yeah. Little did we know that he's a maniac on stage.
Saves it all for there.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Was he super kind? Was his reputation, because now it is, and I've been lucky enough to get to know him on a personal level a little bit, do things professional with him. Was he super kind then, too?
Always.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
And I recall one time he was doing Music City Tonight with us on TNN, and I had some friends in from my hometown of Rogersville, Mavis Ma. She was kind of like my second mom up there. And she was backstage. And after the show, Garth's on his way out. And he spots her. And he sort of figured, he put two and two together and said, "Are you Ma?" And she said, "Well, yes, I am." And he took his hat off and shook her hand and said all sorts of pleasant things. And that was the biggest thrill in the world for her. And, you know, when Garth first started out, he was signed with Capitol. And Jimmy Bowen, who was the guy who headed up the label at that point, was the one who signed him. And I'm playing golf with Bowen. And this is about the time Garth is really starting to explode. And Jimmy just kind of laughed when he was telling the story about Garth. He said, I said, well, how'd Garth do last year and how's he going to do this year? He said he went from making $28,000 a year doing the clubs, and then he mentioned some astronomical number like seven figures overnight. Hmm. And the thing is that Garth is genuine. He's very sincere. He's kind. All that you see, that's him.
Can I tell you something?
There's no put on.
But he's no pushover either.
No, no, no.
I've done a couple of business things with him where we did some specials together and partnered our two companies. Yeah. And he knows what he wants. He knows how he wants it to be and how he doesn't want it to be. And he respected my opinions. But he's very professional to work with. But it's really interesting because you would think that, oh, maybe he's so soft-spoken that people could take advantage of him. No, he's very astute, very smart.
You know, the one thing I've always wondered about, these mega tours that he's on, you know, he's finishing up in Ireland and all the stadium tours and everything. How hands-on is he on a daily basis on something that gigantic? He's got to have some lieutenants, you know. But knowing Garth, he's in on everything that's going on.
I think sincere is – I've always searched for that perfect word. I mean, he's so sincere.
Yes.
So sincere all the time that you start to go, wait, is this real? But then after you spend even more time with him, you're like, yeah, it's real because he's never not. But he's also told me there's three Garths. There's Garth the businessman. Mm-hmm. There's Garth the entertainer. There's Garth the person. And they all are very different. And so Garth the businessman, I don't know that I want to get mixed up with in any way where I'm against him.
Yeah.
Garth the person, awesome. You know, we were, I love to hear those stories because Garth had called and said, hey, come open up. I played Razorback Stadium, like 75,000 people. He said, come open up. We'd love to have you perform before I come on. That's what he said to me. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was a little weird about it. But I said, okay, would love to because I'm in a comedy music group and we play big shows, but not like that where it's also, maybe people don't know who we are. People come to a theater and watch us, but 70,000 people who don't know what's going on, they're like, these guys like the weirdo Wiggles or something, you know? That's what we thought. But Garth's like, you got to come to us.
So
we go and we show up and Garth is there at soundcheck and he's like, hey man, he's like, I'm gonna talk to you for a second. And I was like, what's up? And he said, you can have the whole stage. It's a whole round. And most headliners don't allow the opener to have the whole stage, especially one around. And then he goes, play as long as you want. And I was like, wait, you don't want that. He goes, how long is you supposed to play? I said, 35. He goes, you want to play 50? Play 50. 60? Trisha goes, to go over 60, I'm coming out. She goes, I'll stop you.
But we only have six songs.
So he's just awesome. What about Taylor?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Oh my gosh.
Remember the first time? We've got the audio of that somewhere.
Well, let me just jump in here real fast because we got a phone call from our friend. And I don't think it was Scott Borchetta himself, but some assistant, just a few doors down from us.
Mm.
And of course, everything on Music Row, your doors are locked for obvious reasons. And they said, in a few minutes, your doorbell at your studio is going to ring. Just open the door.
Yeah.
So we went down there and opened the door, and it was this beautiful blonde young lady with a guitar.
Was she 14 at the time?
I think she was 14. Mm-hmm.
And she wandered up in the studio.
We let her in.
Yeah, she wandered up in the studio based on that phone call, okay? And just as sweet as she can be. And we sat down. We talked about her being in high school at this point, writing some songs. She said, I've just written a couple of songs. I'd love to play them for you. And we said, sure. So she reaches down, brings up her guitar, and fires up what became, I guess, her first two number ones.
Tim McGraw and Teardrops on My Guitar.
Teardrops on My Guitar. She performed them both right there. Just
and I was in tears. I was sitting there crying. This girl, 14-year-old girl I had just met, because what she was singing about reminded me of being in junior high and having a first love or whatever. She had me in tears the first time we met.
Pretty cool.
That's an awesome story to have. And that you let her in. I don't think I'm letting anybody in on Music Row knocking on the door. Even if somebody says, let them in, I'm like, oh, no.
Well, I mean, listen, that was, how many years ago was that? I mean, things have changed a little bit more since then. But, that was based on people that we know and work with and business knowledge.
Why not Lorianne and Charlie instead of Crook and Chase? Like, what was that conversation?
I don't think we ever considered Lorianne
and Charlie. No, Crook and Chase had a better ring to it.
It does. Yeah. The alliteration's good. You just don't know who's who just by the last name. Because I'd be like, which one's Crook? I know, because I know you two. But if I just were to hear you on the radio, Crook and Chase, they both could be either.
Yeah. Well, and the reason it isn't Chase and Crook, it's because, think about it. If you say it fast enough, Chase and Crook, it sounds like a cop show.
Starsky and Hutch was Chase big and, at that time.
Chasing, like chasing Crook. Yeah, so it was Crook and Chase. And I don't know, were we copying some other show that had last names at that time?
I don't think so.
Or maybe we were trying to be different.
Starsky and Hutch?
I don't know.
That's the only
Regis
one I've
Regis and Kathy Lee, we thought we'd be different, Crook and Chase.
Yeah.
I saw you got another CMA nomination.
Yes, thank you.
Even 40 years later.
Well, and likewise, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I don't get to do what I do if you guys don't do what you do for many, many years. So it's like, I know that I get to be on the shoulders of the greats. But it's, you know, Tim McGraw is an example, or Kenny Chesney, even Garth, to be able to do something at a high level for so long. Because this is not the CMAs of people who used to be awesome. This is the people who are awesome right now. And you're nominated you're nominated again now. I would just think that it's, like, still so cool to that when it comes out, you're just there again.
Well, can I tell you why it's so cool? And you're just going to think that we are such idiots. For how long, Charlie, did we not submit to be considered for broadcast awards because we didn't know you were supposed to?
Mm-mm.
We just thought there's this, you know, large body, how many, six thousand people in the CMA. And we just thought that they all voted and just maybe they didn't think we were very good. And we were probably, like, how many, like 10 years into our radio career before somebody said, I guess we went to a CMA party or something, and somebody said, how come you guys never submit? You know, you're great on the radio.
What?
You're like, our agent was supposed to do that.
Like, what? And we had no agent, so there you go.
You would think you guys would have so many more knew.
We did not know that we were supposed to do that. And we felt funny. Even now, we kind of feel funny, and so we try to have people that work with us, well, you write this about us. You know, you tell us what we should submit.
It does feel odd.
We can't brag on ourselves really well.
Well, I can brag on you. I've been doing the whole show.
Well, you're kind to say that. But seriously, if we sit down and we'll confer about this, and I say, oh, that's a little bit too self-centered, you know, and stuff like that. I don't like that.
Yeah, but these days, darn it, Charlie, you have to.
I know.
Yeah,
gosh, we're good.
I tell them, I don't want to see it because it makes me uncomfortable, but make it as self-centered as possible. I don't want to know, but just make it so.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
TECOVAS.com. TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. I saw that you guys did on that Shania Netflix documentary. You were in it from back, I don't know how long ago.
93.
Okay. Yeah. So what was Shania like when she came to town?
Oh, she was a regular on our Music City Tonight show to begin with. Mm-hmm. I think, what was that first single?
Wait a minute. Even before Music City Tonight, because wasn't she on Mercury? And she had her first album out, and she came on our show and performed.
That's what that was. And then in between that and all the major hits, she was a regular performer on Music City Tonight, where she would do cover songs, okay? She was great, just absolutely gorgeous, as you could know. And she, I recall being in the dressing room, you know, and everybody's getting all made up and everything for the show. And she's just sitting back there in one of those director's chairs like, hey, how y'all doing? You know, one of those kind of things. Just a sweetheart. And then suddenly, after meeting Mutt, things exploded. She became a worldwide phenomenon.
It felt quick to you guys, too.
Yeah, and I tell you what was funny.
All of a sudden.
She did her world tour, and she was at Bridgestone Arena. And I love telling this story. Again,
about self-serving.
Here it comes. We're probably 12 rows from the stage. You know, Shania had set us up with some tickets, okay? It's a business thing. So I'm there with the family and all that. We're enjoying the show, and she's great. And she looks down in the audience, and right in the middle of the song, she says, I see you, Charlie Chase. And, of course, in front of me are Frank Wycheck of the Tennessee Titans and Al Del Greco, and they both turned around and said, well, your stock just went up. And I'm, yeah, I know.
Did it get weird when her fame became international, meaning were you seeing international situations, were people coming into town? I don't know. She got so big in so many countries, more so than maybe except for Garth, maybe more than Garth. I don't know. I just feel like she's been the most famous country music artist we've ever had.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, she traveled the world. And I believe on one of her later albums with Mutt, they traveled around the world and recorded in India, and I don't know, different places, Nepal, I don't know. But yeah, you know what's so funny? Prior to meeting Mutt, that was just a big turn in her life, and she would even tell you that. But she would be talking to us backstage, and I thought it was so interesting. She goes, I just don't even know if I fit in this town. Yeah. You know, there were writing appointments, and you had to be a certain place a certain time and write with this person and that person. And she goes, I'm a little loose for this. She has to be inspired. I think that's why she and Mutt clicked, because he allowed her to, and guess what Mutt does? He allows people to be the artist that they want to be. But he's so private. Remember, she disappeared from Music City Tonight for several weeks, and when she came back, she was married. And she brought a picture of her wedding, but it was cut in half, prophetic maybe. But Mutt wasn't in it. I was like, well, wait a minute, where's your husband? Because I didn't know who Mutt Lange was at the time. And she goes, oh, well, he's really private, and I can't show his picture around. But she wanted us to see her in her wedding dress on her wedding day. But it was, I don't think she was with our show more than a few months after that, because she and Mutt just.
I gave her one of my pictures and told her to insert it right there.
And she cut you out of it?
Yeah.
She cut Charlie out too, yeah.
An individual answer from both of you. And Lorianne, I'll start with you.
Okay.
If I say you know you're going to interview this person, it's going to be a great interview because they just are great on the microphone. Who's a great interview?
There are so many.
But you got to give me one.
Oh, that's so unfair. You're going to
put us on the spot. Like,
yeah. I'm not saying who's bad. Who's bad, but I'm saying who.
I understand that.
Because, okay, I will tell you mine to give you thoughts on it. Yeah. I know, and again, much like you guys, I've been fortunate enough to forge relationships with certain people in this town too. Some of them happen to be artists. And one of my friends is Jake Owen, who I know he's going to nail it on air because he just has something. He comes in prepared. He will go wherever I take him, or I'll let him take me somewhere. Mm-hmm. We just have that relationship where I know Jake is coming in. It's going to be a killer interview regardless. So if I were to put that on you, Lorianne?
Classic artist or current?
Let's go classic.
Classic.
You can
artist.
Do each if you want. We can do the categories.
Well, okay. Barbara Mandrell, flat out, will tell you the truth about anything. Love that.
You have
and
to
Reba.
That.
She and Reba.
Yeah, Reba's awesome.
She will
tell
you.
Was Reba always like that?
Yeah, I thought so.
Because I don't know if it's Reba now, because she's Reba, because she will just say it.
I take that back. When I first interviewed her in 83, I believe it was, she was still trying to get a feel, a feel of the vibe.
She was a little timid at first.
Yeah, I guess that's a good word. Yeah,
at first.
But then confidence.
Boy, now she'll tell you whatever.
I know. Don't you love it?
Yes, I love it. She'd be up there too as far as – I just don't – get to interview her as much anymore because she's Reba and she does whatever she wants. Okay, so we're going to do Barbara Mandrell, and then who would be current?
Current artist. Oh, God, Charlie, who did we break into giggles about? There are so many people. I will tell you, Brothers Osborne, for whatever reason, we just start off the rails and we never get back on and we just laugh a lot.
Yeah.
I love
Brothers good guys.
Osborne.
Good guys. All right.
Al Dean's funny.
Is he?
Al Dean is a mess. Well, it's because Charlie and Al Dean are naughty little boys.
No, we're not.
And when they get together, I can't keep it together on the show.
Well, we start out giving him some crap to begin with. And then it slowly just
You talk about
in.
Your tongue toilet seats and then your Rolling Stone toilet seats.
Not exactly that. But I'll tell you, I like Trisha Yearwood.
Mm-hmm.
She goes back to what you were saying a moment ago. You bring it... Just throw it out there. She'll go with you wherever you want to go. She's so funny. And Justin Moore. I just did an interview with him. He's out of his mind.
He's out of his mind.
He's another Arkansas boy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So he was telling me the other day, with a woman you love, of course, big hit song and all that. And he was talking about, I said, well, what have you had to do? What concessions have you had to make? He said, well, I've learned. He said, I don't like cats. And she brought home a damn cat. And now I love that cat. It sleeps in the bed. The cat sleeps in the bed with me. And he just turned and walked away.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So you guys were inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame? The Radio,
that's radio,
Hall,
radio,
yes!
Radio
Hall
of Fame. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes, we were.
So when you get that call, how long ago was that?
That was 13.
2013.
Okay, so I didn't know which accolade. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know which accolade to focus on. Because I just like to talk to you guys, but I also want to share with our younger, because we get about 1 million people an episode to listen to this thing. And so maybe some of our younger audience, they're only listening to stuff like streaming music and podcasts. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I want to really focus on a couple of the, but there's so many I didn't know what to focus on. So we've spent some of this time, we could do a whole podcast on just all the cool things you guys have done.
Wow.
And that's one of them, being in the Country Radio Hall of Fame. And so who calls and tells you that,
was
or what's
Payne?
That?
Was it Payne who called us?
Yeah, well, Bill called me.
Yeah, he called me too.
Yeah, and he basically, I was at my desk and I picked up the phone and Bill Main, and he asked me what I was doing on a certain date. And usually that means people want you to come and present or be on the board or whatever. And so I was a little cautious because I don't want to immediately commit to something that I don't know about in my crazy schedule. And so I was kind of like, well, what's the date? What are we talking about? And he says, because you are going to be inducted into the Country Radio Hall of Fame. And I swear to you, I'm going to back up.
Go over there.
I swear I screamed that loud for about 5 minutes.
I watched a horror movie last night. It sounded
just like that.
No, Bill called me as well. And he just said, you know, I knew who he was. Didn't know why he was calling, though, because he was the country radio broadcaster, CRB. And I figured, hey, he wants us to do something. He said, well, you're going into the Hall of Fame. And I said, are you sure? He said, yeah.
Check again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was very pleased to hear that.
It That's kind of tame, it Charlie.
Well, I'm not going to do what you did, but I did something similar.
It sounded like this.
I got off the phone and did it.
And no one, I don't think anyone, is more deserving than you guys. But allow me to be slightly offended that you weren't in years earlier than that. I'm going to be honest with you.
Because we don't, but it's what we hit on before. We are so crazy. We are just so focused on the next show and doing the next thing. We don't sit around and I guess we should, but we don't figure out what award we want or I don't even know how you get voted on or nominated for these things. So I think maybe that's just one of our weaknesses as people in the business, is that we just have to get more self-promotion oriented so more people know about us.
Yeah, probably. Our focus has always been on day-to-day.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
On eBay right now, you can get a Crook and Chase 1992 Country Gold trading card.
Autographed?
No. How much do you think that card goes for?
50 cents.
Well, you'll be shot because you'll be making $3.10 if you sell one of those. Non-autographed, though. If you autograph it, at least $3.50.
Is there a make an offer on there?
Buy it now, yeah.
Bobby,
and make an offer.
We will sell it to you for $2.
Okay, you know what? You got it. So, but Charlie, you know, you have the goatee now, kind of the beard into the goatee. Yeah. Just the must. When did you make the decision to go from the single mustache to more?
5 years ago. I have no idea why. I do recall when I first started growing this beard, and Charlie Daniels was coming by, the late Charlie Daniels was coming by our studio, and he walked and he looked at me and said, I'd been growing it, I guess, about a month. He said, are you growing a beard? I went, yeah. He said, well, it's going to be white. Walked on by. And I said, well, thanks, Charles.
But it became popular. Think
it
about
did.
All the people. I mean, Thomas Rhett grew a beard.
Yeah, and then Jordan. Everybody started growing a beard during the pandemic, and I kept it. So I started, this is a pre-pandemic beard, but yeah, I don't know. I just thought I'd try it.
Who's your favorite artist of all time?
Led Zeppelin.
I'm going to base this on just experience and going to the shows and my youth and everything else, the Rolling Stones.
I know a toilet seat you could get.
I know.
Mm-hmm. I almost spit
I do,
right
I
then.
Do have the shirt.
Yeah.
Autographed by Mick Jagger.
Really?
Thank you very much. Yes. As a matter of fact, we saw the Stones, Karen and I, my wife Karen and I, saw the Rolling Stones in Knoxville in 1972. And there was the Tumbling Dice Tour. I guess it was. Yeah. And we looked up, and we didn't know this. It wasn't advertised. But here comes the opening act. It was Stevie Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Stevie Wonder coming on with the Sweet Inspirations, his backup group. One of the Sweet Inspirations was his sister was in the group. And they were doing a conga line. That's how they got him from one place to another, you know, on stage. And then the Stones came out. And that was when they were comparing the loudness of the Rolling Stone concert to standing behind a jet engine. That was a big deal back then. And we saw that the tickets were $6.50.
You can get two trading cards for that price.
Trick and Chase.
Make an offer. I'm just telling you. Act while you can.
Do you want to hear my pathetic Led Zeppelin story?
I was going to ask.
So, first of all, they were the reason that in high school I was grounded for an entire summer. Because they came to Birmingham, Alabama, and my boyfriend and I, without telling my parents, we went to see Led Zeppelin. And I didn't get home till 1 or 2 in the morning, so I got grounded the whole summer. Fast forward to, I don't know, when did Robert Plant start working with Alison Krauss?
Mm.
This is how much I love Robert Plant. I had the opportunity in a little hallway to meet him and shake his hand like Charlie did, and I got about as far to him as you are to me, Bobby, and I turned around and ran out of the building.
She ran to the elevator.
I love this man and his artistry and his voice so much, I did not have the guts to meet him. And I still haven't.
I chatted him up real good.
I bet you did. What?
Can I go back? I'm going to go back. I need to amend my answer just a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
There are two number one artists for me. I mentioned the Stones, mm-hmm. the Beatles.
You ever see them?
I've seen two of them. Saw McCartney. Never saw him as a group. McCartney and Ringo. Saw Ringo down at the Ryman recently with his all-star band. He was incredibly good.
Buying hairspray? Gas station?
No. You know, I don't know. This man just turned 80 years old, and he was all over the place.
Yeah.
I was going.
He's 80?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, and we're getting close to ending this. We've almost done an hour with you guys. I'm just grateful.
Oh, my goodness.
Just grateful for your time. Were you worried about going up to Robert Plant the whole time, or did it just hit you like, I need to go? Like, what? Because you're going up to him. Can you walk me through that?
Well, the only reason I was going toward him was because he and Allison were leaving the studio where they were working, and Charlie and I had to walk toward them and by them to get to the studio where we were working. And I don't even know what I'm afraid of. I think I would just probably act like an idiot, or I'd just start crying. I love you, Robert. I just didn't want to be an idiot.
It was part of it that you didn't want him to not be nice, so you didn't want to have to love him less?
Maybe.
I've made those decisions.
You have?
Yeah, where it's like I'm such a big fan. I just don't even want to risk not loving your art.
See, it ruins your life.
Yeah,
if that happens,
it sucks.
It ruins your life.
If you're an idiot, you can be in his band.
That's true. You could. You could be, yes. We can use anybody, singer. We can use anybody that's any good.
I'll go up to play and go, whole lot of love.
Hey, play some Wild Cherry and I'll dance. I'll be your dancer.
Let me say to you two, I have been looking forward to this for weeks and weeks.
Thank you. Thank you.
When I saw it pop up on my calendar, because I told Mike, we have a dream list of people that we want personally. And, you know, we get really, people come by. Urban drives up and comes over and Jay, everybody comes by, but sure. When it was like our dream list, it's people that personally like have mattered to us. I said, man, I would love to get you two.
Thank you.
And it popped up. He didn't tell me. He just popped up my calendar, and I screenshot it and sent it back, and I sent him with a fist emoji going, that's awesome.
You mean you didn't go,
I did not.
Okay.
I did not.
I'm disappointed that you didn't.
But when you guys walked in, instead of going up and saying hello, I almost ran away. But I kept myself and I sat here, and I'm glad I did.
And then he went, yeah.
Because you're awesome. And congratulations on not just an excellent career, but the sustained success.
Thank you.
Like, they're completely independent. Congratulations on such a noteworthy and even to someone as a fan myself, it has impacted me in many ways. So just selfishly, personally, I say thank you. Oh. But also it's like you've sustained it where you're still relevant after 40 years together. And that itself is just hopefully to you guys like a treasure that you're able to stay together and keep doing it.
It's a lot of fun. We consider ourselves family. We're close friends. We've been through a lot together as friends and business partners and things. And it's good.
And it's by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Let's just say it. You know, it's one of those things. You can't plan it. And if it happens this way, it's a God thing.
And yeah. You can follow Charlie on TikTok. All you have to do is go over and... Can you imagine he's dancing on TikTok?
Are you going to buy the card? You're going to buy the card?
Yeah. We've seen Bobby Bones doing the, what is it, the get up or
you don't,
something?
You don't want to see me doing any
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, I saw you. No, you were good. I thought you were good. And you did it with some kind of a large drink in your hand.
You ever danced on this table?
Mm-mm.
Now is the time.
Oh, no. The laughter indicates otherwise.
It is not the time. It is. Thank you. Big fan. Always, always will
thank
be.
You.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate your time.
This is fun. Thank you.
That's awesome, guys.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.